ASISU Speaks is a weekly program on KISU-FM focused on Idaho State University from a student's perspective. This is Christoph Kassoon. Today, I am joined by Bea Valencia, a doctoral student in political science at Idaho State. Bea completed her master's in public administration at ISU in 2019 and is an active student leader on campus who advocates tirelessly for minorities in higher education and society. Hi, Bea.
Hola, Christoph. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for being in the studio with me here today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. You know, since I got the opportunity to start hosting the show, you were always on my list in my mind.
Aww.
It was like, one day you will be in the studio with me so that we can like show the community how awesome you are.
Oh, thank you.
And just how much you've done in your short time since you've been at ISU.
Yeah.
And how much I think campus has changed because of the things you've contributed.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So just for listeners, let's talk a bit about your background.
Okay.
So where are you from?
So I was born in Reno, Nevada. It's Nevada, not Nevada. So I was born
good clarification.
I was born in Reno, and I graduated in Pershing County High School in Lovelock, Nevada. So most people probably don't know where that is, but O.J. Simpson was in our prison. So
no,
yes, he was. Like, my uncle used to guard him at the prison, actually.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So there's that. And then in graduating, I didn't want to stay there, and I'm an only child, so I was fortunate enough to be able to pick where I wanted to go to school, and I had enough scholarships, and my parents were like, yeah, I guess you're going to go to ISU. And my original major, believe it or not, was dental hygiene.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh my
and
God.
I was like, I want to be a dental hygienist. I want to go to dental school. I want to provide oral care for people in third world countries. Like,
I so, love you. The minority angle is still there,
yes,
though.
Yes, it was always still,
still there.
Yes, I always wanted to help people. And so that's just me. I care a lot about people and like providing those opportunities. And when I started doing the classes, I was just like, oh, I don't
this
like
in
this.
My cup of tea.
Yeah, because most universities and even some community colleges offer like pre-courses, right? So like you could take like these pre-dent, these pre-nursing, and kind of get into like the type of things you're going to be doing.
Uh-huh.
And I got into it and I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to sit with someone's open mouth in my lap for hours beyond end. And if you want to be a dental hygienist, it's a great career. It's nothing against that. But I myself just couldn't do it after a while. And I even got to the point of like applying to the program. And I was like, I can't do this. And so,
wow, so you did like a good like 4 semesters.
I did all. I was like pre-dental hygiene.
Wow.
So, and the whole time it was weird because I was doing stuff like the Hispanic Youth Symposium.
Uh-huh.
So the Hispanic Youth Symposium is something that is in Idaho, and I'm not from Idaho again, so I didn't know what it was. But this was like in 2011. We got an email of like applying so you could be like a college representative. I was like, I'm not from Idaho, like whatever. Don't let opportunities pass, people. So one of my mentors was like, hey, did you apply to this? I was like, no, I don't. Like, I'm not from Idaho. I don't know what this is. Like, he's like, no, B. Like, well, he said, no, Beatriz, you need to apply. And I was like, okay. So I applied that same day. And a week later, they were like, congratulations, you've been selected as a representative of Idaho State University. You will come to Sun Valley, Idaho, and be on this college panel at the Hispanic Youth Symposium. So it was like a huge deal, and I didn't really realize it because there was like all this hype about HYS and all these like Latinos that I knew. And I was like,
but like you have no context.
I have no idea
you have
what
no
it
context
is.
For any of this.
I was just like, oh, in my head, I was like, oh, a bunch of little Mexicans, like in a. That's literally what I thought because.
Yeah.
The population was predominantly Mexican-American students or individuals who had been born in Mexico, things like that. And I remember going and it like changed my life. And I was like, no wonder they make such a big deal out of this. It was the first time, I think, in my entire life that I had been in a space with that many like Mexican-Americans or like Mexicanos that were living here that were like doing things. Like there was educators, there was like university administrators, there was doctors, there was lawyers, there was all these people. And I was just like, what?
Wow.
Like, I don't think I've ever had that many people in a room, or I've never seen that many people that were like me or had similar backgrounds to me. And after that, I got like really involved in my community. And throughout college, I was in HALO, the Hispanic
Awareness Leadership
Organization. Mm-hmm. And I was always part of that. But I feel like I didn't learn a lot about my culture until I moved here, because I feel like my family very much like assimilated.
Okay.
So I know my language very well. I'm very blessed that my parents taught me Spanish, but I feel like I didn't know a lot about the culture. I didn't like listen to a lot of like air quotes typical like Mexican music.
Right,
and
right.
I still don't, so whatever, but I didn't know like any of it. And people for the longest time were like, are you sure you're Mexican? And I'm like,
yeah,
I think so. Like, that's what my parents tell me, you know, unless I got like swapped at birth. But it was just like interesting finding myself within my own community, because like, again, my family had like assimilated very much, like westernized, Americanized themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I came here and was in like a first year program with a bunch of other like Latinos, and it was like Latino leaders. And there was maybe 22 of us in that class. And just for perspective, out of those 22, I really want to say only 3 of us graduated with a bachelor's degree, maybe 4 by now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the only one that I know of that has a master's degree.
Okay.
So when we talk about perspectives about like Latinos that graduate with a 4-year degree, let alone
very low.
It's very low, just in that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find that statistic anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But there was like all these factors that I didn't realize. And then getting involved with HYS, getting involved with HALO.
Mm-hmm.
I was part of starting a Latina organization, a Latina sorority on campus.
Wow.
So I was part of that as well. And then my last year on campus, I was like, I feel like I haven't done enough. And I forgot I was a senator too.
Yes, you were.
So I was a senator.
About to ask.
Yeah, I think I forget, because I feel like I shook Senate so much.
Yeah.
Because I was the only Latina. Maria Lemos, shout out to Maria Lemos, because she paved the way for a lot of things, and I feel like she didn't get a lot of credit.
Yeah.
And I think that goes into like colorism a lot.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
Latinos, and I know a lot of other cultures, prefer light-skinned individuals over darker-skinned.
Mm-hmm.
And Maria Lemos is very much a lot darker than me. And she was a senator, and I feel like a lot of the things she did, she didn't get credit for.
Mm.
And then I come along as a light-skinned Latina. I'm like this perfect picture of what, you know, we want our first-gen Latinos to be.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of recognition as well. But
mm-hmm.
My personality is also out there, but so is Maria's, like when I compare both of us. And so, again, shout out to Maria Lemos, because I feel like she didn't get a lot of that credit. But when I was on Senate, I remember they wanted to change Cesar Chavez Avenue.
Okay.
And I was like, and the individuals that wanted to change it were all Caucasian.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty half and half male, female.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, it was like a great idea. Like what they were trying to do, they were trying to rename the street to their first president. And then I was like, that's cool, but like,
why is that necessary?
Why do you need to change?
Yeah.
The one thing we have on campus is like Cesar Chavez Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And HALO, actually, back in like 70 something or like early 80s, HALO's the one that changed that street. So
that's
like
cool.
History coming back at you, right? So HALO was part of getting that street changed. And if you know that street on campus, MLK is a cross street.
Yeah.
So that's really important, because MLK and Cesar Chavez Avenue, they touch.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like really important to us, because that's like the only thing we have on campus if you think about it. And so when they wanted to change it, like nobody thought about like, well, have you talked to the like Latino organizations on campus? Have you talked to like the multicultural clubs on campus? Do you know the history behind it? And I remember one of the individuals was like, well, it doesn't matter. And I was like,
of course it matters.
I was like, sweetheart, it does.
It does. And if you can't see that, I don't even know why you're in.
Yeah. And
university.
I remember, I don't know how I had clout in Senate, but I did. And I just remember I was like, that was really inappropriate. And I think you need to be really aware of the community around you. And you live in Southeast Idaho and you live off of farm workers. And Cessa Chavez is a big, important part of your community as an Idahoan. Like, a lot of people don't agree with what Cessa Chavez did. And there's certain things that I don't agree with because... there is history that he was a colorist person and that he didn't care about like the immigrant population, which I don't think is right. But I still think a lot of good things happened from it. And let's move forward and make it inclusive for everybody.
Absolutely.
But I just remember that comment and all of us, like, I called it out instantly. I didn't even raise my hand, which is like a no-no in Senate.
Yeah.
And I like raised my hand and I was like, I think that was really inappropriate. And I remember like whoever the VP was didn't even say anything because I'm normally not that person. And I just like remember in that moment, like I was like, dude, that wasn't cool.
Yeah.
I was like, I think it's really inconsiderate of you to do that. I'm the only Latina sitting here. And if I wasn't here, I'm sure this would have been approved.
Agreed.
So, and I'm sure it would have.
It would have been. I know.
Because no one else said anything until I was like, yo, that was not cool. You should probably reconsider this. Like, can't you name something else? Like a building or anything like that. Like, that's the one thing we got, y'all. And
or like pick any other street.
Yeah, like,
and like there's hundreds of them.
Yeah, like pick another street. Like,
yeah.
And then I think about it and I'm like, that was so microaggressive. And but again, I
think it happens.
It happens, but I think people forget, again, these privileges that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in a place of power, thankfully, because I was outgoing and I decided to do this. But I think of that moment and that's where I kind of started finding my voice. And so doing that helped me go to coming back to like my last year that I wanted to do a Hispanic Heritage Month, which first of all, I don't want it to be called Hispanic Heritage Month anymore because it's not inclusive, I think. So I think it should be Latinx. That's just me.
Yeah.
Make it
language
more
is important.
Yeah, I think language is important. I think inclusivity is really important. Whether you agree with that or not, that's fine. But I think just having that sensitivity towards individuals and I think that's important. And so my last year on campus, I wanted to do something because I don't know why I felt like I hadn't done enough. And which is crazy because I feel like I did pretty good things on campus, but I don't know, maybe, you know, my Latinaness, like, I never do enough.
I felt the same way. When I graduated my bachelor's, I did not feel like I had accomplished anything.
Right.
It was just checking the first box for me.
But then I think about it and I was like very well represented on campus.
Yeah.
And I think about all the like posters I've been in and all the videos I've been in and things like that. And I'm very, very, very privileged to do that. And for I know there's people who are undergrads still that have reached out to me and they're like, you know, it was because of you that I came to ISU and that and you're the person that I see and I see you succeeding and I see you doing all these things. And you know, as a first gen Latina, I see that you're in a doc program, like you take care of your parents, you're doing all these things. And for those of you who don't know, I did move my parents here a little over a year ago. And my parents are older and I also have my grandmother with me. So, you know, typical Latino household.
This is like the brown dream. This is like what every brown kid wants to do, is to move and get successful, get educated, get a good job and move your parents with you.
Yes.
Like, so girl, you're giving me life right now.
My mom makes me all the food I want all the time. Like, we got our little melon in the studio right here. And it's just, you know, I'm very thankful to be in a place of privilege like that, that I was able to move my parents here.
Wow.
And it's just like looking back and never realizing I'd be in the space that I am now. Mm-hmm. And I can say that my last year on campus, I brought April Lee Hernandez from the Freedom Writers to speak on campus for Hispanic Heritage Month. Like, if y'all have seen the Freedom Writers, I can't remember the name, Ava. Her character is Ava, and she's a very powerful character in that film. And I got to drive with her. I picked her up in Salt Lake.
Wow.
And then I got to drop her off. And I think of those, like, 6-7 hours that I was with her and all the knowledge I gained.
Wow.
And
like just being in her presence.
Yeah, just being in her presence.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she's a powerful Latina. She's in these films. I think she was on Dexter too.
Mm-hmm.
And she's written a book. She speaks everywhere about domestic violence because she was in a very abusive relationship and she even wrote a book about it. You can find it on Amazon. But I think of that and I'm always like, I want to be like April Lee Hernandez one day and be mm-hmm. able to come speak on campus about issues, mm-hmm. whether it be like nationally or globally, on how like you can impact your community and by them seeing you succeed. And not only that, like realizing whatever privilege it is you have and uplifting those around you. Because yeah. I understand, I am a light-skinned Latina, so I understand how I do... become ambiguous in some places. And for yeah. those of you who don't know what ambiguous means, it's people don't instantly know what I am.
Right.
I look Latina. I don't sound Latina because people just assume that you're supposed to have an accent.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why people feel the need to be like, are you sure? Like, I'm darker than you. I'm like, no, yours is a fake
yeah,
tan.
This is not a color contest.
Yeah, this isn't. Like, and I think that just goes to show the lack of global citizenship, that people yes. just assume you have to look a certain way if you're from right. a certain place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's Black Mexicans that are like Mexican
yeah.
Mexican, like
yeah.
you really should learn your history a little bit better. Like
yeah.
there's light skinned Latinos, there's blonde haired, blue eyed Latinos. Like
mm-hmm.
my dad, he has bright green eyes. My dad's also Spanish. Like we know and understand that, but my grandfather was an indigenous male.
Mm-hmm.
And so my grandfather is like straight native of his land in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And then you look at me and you're like, are you sure? And it's like genetics, people, like
yes,
things happen.
It's a mixed bag.
Yes. Like, you never know. Like uh-huh. things happen. And I think it's just funny walking this space because, you know, I do have that racial ambiguity and I do walk spaces differently. And I've learned to acknowledge that. It doesn't mean I'm any less Latina or Chicana, Mexican-American, whatever it may be. It just means I don't get judged instantly.
Right.
And there has been places where as soon as I speak or as soon as I say my name, people are all of a sudden like turned off. Or
wow.
the reality of it is that I have a very diverse name. My name is very, very ethnic.
Yeah.
My name doesn't even fit on my driver's license.
Wow.
Yes, Idaho, you need to like figure it out.
Yeah, give
because,
us a second line.
Yes,
come on.
Oh my God. And then I have like two last names. So then they hyphenate it and I'm just like, why?
Yikes.
So
major yikes.
My ID says like B, like the letter B, the letter I, and then on the second line, so like the first line
uh-huh.
really, it's Valencia hyphen Hernandez.
Wow.
Like I can't do anything with my ID. You know how hard it is flying? Like,
yeah.
with one letter, because you can't even, like, when you're typing, you can't even put, like, it doesn't let you put one letter. And I'm just like, guys.
Why would you put that on my ID?
Yes.
I'm so shook.
Yes. I remember almost got stuck in Vegas one time because they wouldn't let me pass. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do?
I guess I'll just stay here forever.
Yeah. I'm
oh
like,
my
y'all.
God.
Yeah. So I think it's just funny, like these little spaces that you have to like navigate.
Yeah, literally, like,
yeah,
just the absence of some letters could completely ruin somebody's life.
Yeah, and I think about like international students,
mm-hmm.
Or even like Hawaiian students, like Polynesian students,
yeah.
who have like cultured names, or individuals from like the Middle East who have very cultured name as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of people from a lot of different places have very cultured names. And I think about that, and I remember like being a senator, I think, mm-hmm. at one time, someone kept saying someone's name wrong, and I was so frustrated.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not their name.
Yeah.
They're like, it doesn't matter. And then I started calling.
Yes, it does.
I started calling that individual John. I don't even remember their first name because I was like, hey, John, do you mind, like, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, my name's not John. And I was like, oh, I guess it doesn't matter.
I love it.
Man,
a little bit of savageness.
Yes. And I looked back and I was like, man, I was kind of ruthless, like, an undergrad. Like, no wonder, like, a lot of people are like, you're kind of out there. And
right.
you don't.
But, like, we have to call these things out. Like,
it's terrifying, though.
Yeah.
But I also know
yes.
that if I don't do it, it's more acceptable for me to do it than I even know yourself. Like, you have, like, that male privilege, but
true.
You're a brown male. I am a light-skinned Latina. So, like, I know, like, in certain spaces,
right.
I have more privilege. And so I think, again, going back to, like, this sense of privilege, like, just because you have a privilege doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah.
And we
it's just
need
all
to,
about how you recognize and
yes,
use it.
Yes, recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that if I walk in to a space with someone who's brown, they're less likely to get followed around because they're with me.
Yeah.
I recognize that
mm-hmm.
because I've had instances that I've experienced with some friends who are from other countries who are like black and brown.
Mm-hmm.
And I've left them alone to like go do my own thing. And then they've been questioned by people at like the store. And I'm just like,
wow. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. And I'm
disappointed, but not surprised.
Yeah. I'm never surprised
right.
anymore.
It's
Like, you'd be surprised, or
yeah,
when people change their tone with you after they find out like what you are. Mm-hmm. So again, that's I think probably like the only thing that's difficult about like racial ambiguity is that people are like really nice to you, and then all of a sudden, like they'll say something, or like you'll say something, and then
it's
they're like
a twist in the horror movie.
Oh my god! Like my stomach instantly sinks, and it just like it happened to me a lot on undergrad, and I didn't know what it was.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then I got into my master's program, and like imposter syndrome hit.
Mm-hmm.
Like my identity was being questioned. Mm-hmm. I myself was questioning my identity.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had a hard time dealing with me being in grad school because. Like, I don't know. I feel like my mom is like the perfect stereotype of like this little Mexican mom when she's like, what are you always doing? But in Spanish, so it's worse.
Right.
And so they don't understand like what it means to have a master's or be working on a doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just interesting to see like how far I've come and like the different types of things that you advocate for. So like the whole equity versus equality versus like there's certain policies that try to get passed and you're like, this doesn't make sense. And so you just need to be able to question those things and work hard towards being in those places of power and giving voices to those who don't have it. And so ultimately, I think that's the biggest thing I've learned about being in Southeast Idaho in particular.
Yes.
So, and the more education you get put in certain spaces that are uncomfortable. And so you learn a lot. And I think that's probably the hardest thing that you learn. But here we are. You're still in those same spaces as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And you still just have to be an advocate for your community. So
yeah,
that's what we're doing.
That's the whole plan. That's the whole plan. Like, I'm not just going to sit back and watch my people suffer.
Yes.
Like,
and some people are like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever met people like...
They're just complacent and just passive.
Or they don't acknowledge. My biggest pet peeve, I will say, is like... particularly because I am Latina, it's Latinas who are only Latina when it matters.
Oh, yeah.
Lord. And it just frustrates me because it's always like light-skinned Latinas. And I'm like...
Right. It's just kind of a convenience type of scenario.
They're like, well, I'm Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one knew you were Mexican until you said that. So, and it's not questioning anybody's identity. It's not any of that. You don't get to be disrespectful to them just because they're not advocates, because if that's what they choose to do, that's fine.
Right.
But it is frustrating when you sit there and you see that they're in a place of power or that they have clout of some sort.
Right, they have resources, access.
Yes, and then they'll turn around and be like, oh, well, I'm Mexican, so we can relate in this way.
Yeah.
But then you're not an advocate.
Right, you're not like carrying that through into other parts of your life where you can really genuinely make change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like I found my true self.
Good.
As like a chingona chicana. I don't know, like just my little badass self. I feel like I went through a lot.
Yeah,
so,
it's hard. It's rough out there.
It is really hard out there.
This has not been an easy journey.
No.
Not at all.
So it's been interesting being here, but I'm very grateful. Very, very grateful for the experiences that I've had and for the people that I've met. And so here we are.
Yeah, we are.
We're both doing the same thing. We're both from backgrounds where people wouldn't think we are in the space that we are. And, and we're both here. And I think it's the
phenomenal
beauty of that. Yeah.
It's beautiful. And we're so similar, but so different.
Yes.
You know, we kind of went through very similar things, but again, two completely different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And we wound up in the same studio.
Yes!
Getting the same degree at a dope school.
Yes.
With the best faculty you can ever think about.
Oh my
gosh. Dream of.
I hope our faculty listens to this because that meeting we had the other day, literally, I like left in tears because I was just like, this is what grad school is supposed to be like.
It was the first time I felt like that too.
Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. So very, very grateful.
Yeah. Dr. Kelly Kirkpatrick has just become the graduate director for the Doctor of Arts in Political Science, as well as the Masters in Political Science at ISU.
Yes.
When she held a really cool meeting where, you know, all the grads kind of got together in one room for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
And
we
just kind of got to talk and like give each other advice and like get really good advice and mentorship from all our faculty. And, You know, I think that kind of thing is so important, particularly in 2019, when so many of us are going through things like imposter syndrome.
Yes.
Our mental health is being challenged every day, mm-hmm. just because of the not only the amount of work we have to do, but the amount of responsibilities we have outside of school.
It's a little academic hazing.
Like, yeah, it's
yeah,
literally like...
people don't get doctorates for fun. Like, no. You're like, oh, academic hazing, let's go.
No. It is not easy. So just, I think, creating that culture of support in our department
yes.
and is going to do so much good for us.
Yeah, I mm-hmm. was so excited seeing all those individuals and all their backgrounds, because for being a political science program, like in Southeast Idaho in particular, I think I was surprised because we have like two or three individuals from like Africa.
Yeah.
And then like you're from Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
There's another student that's from like Europe, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, we have someone from Nepal.
Yeah, we have someone from Nepal
yeah.
in the program.
Yeah, like our graduate teaching assistants
yeah.
right now are very diverse.
Yes, and there's a gentleman from the military.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's mm-hmm. very non-traditional. Like there's a lot of people who have kids that I didn't realize had kids.
Right.
There's people that are like ex-military that I didn't realize.
Right, they work in the public service.
Yes,
like...
they work in the public service. There's mm-hmm. a lot of like, I know they're Mexican American, so I'm just going to say they're Mexican American, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of individuals who are also that. And then it's just like, we have a really good background of like, and I think that's really important to have in a doctoral program and a master's program, because it puts you in these quote unquote uncomfortable mm-hmm. positions and situations. But that's what helps you learn, because we have individuals from very different like religious backgrounds too
yeah.
in this program. And I have learned so much from them as well, or people from different walks of life who are like first gen, not first gen. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing when you could be so synchronous, but be so different. And I think people sometimes think that you can't get along, but I think it's knowing and understanding people's different walks of lives.
Yeah.
And I may not agree with you 150% on something,
like
but
I can empathize.
Yes. And mm-hmm. that's, I think, the beauty of doc studies and grad studies. So here
yeah.
we are learning. It's like lifelong learning.
It is. It's an ongoing process.
Yes.
And the process is beautiful, you know, like I think particularly like a lot of undergrads tend to just rush through
mm-hmm.
and all they care about is crossing that stage and
yes.
they just don't really live in the moment and enjoy the process of getting the degree. I think the
yes.
process is what matters even more than the product.
Oh, I can't even
yeah.
begin. Like the person that I am sitting in this room with you today is mm-hmm. not the person who was here when I was a senator on campus.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This person that I am today is not the same person 2 years ago when
mm-hmm.
before I started my master's program. And now here I am 2 years later in a doctoral program.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, what?
You've, right.
Yeah, I'm like
yeah.
this little girl from the trailer park that grew up super poor with like immigrant parents who hardly speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And like I had all these people that didn't believe in me, but I at one point shut them out and realized that the people that believed in you are the ones that matter.
Yes.
And finding that like mentorship opportunity with individuals, finding that social capital, finding that support system.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, if you are thinking about going into grad school and you don't have a support system, you can come out and talk to me because I will find you a support
yes.
system, because it's mentally and emotionally draining. So I'm
yeah.
not going to pretend that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we talk about that enough.
Agreed.
But you can surpass that with the right people.
Yes.
And I remember telling Christoph, like, hey, man, you realize like how happy I am that you're in this program and now I'm in this program
yes.
because this is going to be great. This is going to be lit. We're going to
yeah.
be able to talk about all these things. And I just remember I was like so happy once
aww.
I like switched my program, because I was like,
yeah,
I'm home.
You're
this
back
is...
with your people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really hard to know and understand. I felt like a failure a little bit when
yeah.
I switched programs. And
wow.
And I even had one of my mentors was like, you know, switching is going to be like career suicide. And I was like, no, I think I'm fine. And they were like, well, there's a lot of negative connotation towards like DAs, whatever, whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, my whole life is a negative connotation. Like, I'm not supposed to be where I am anyways.
Right,
so
right.
I'm fine.
Exactly.
And
like.
So I'm fine with that. And
yeah.
I think it's just like tuning people out sometimes
mm-hmm.
and just knowing that you're a boss regardless. So
exactly, you're the captain of your ship. You
yeah.
control your life. You manifest your destiny.
Yes, yes,
create
that's
it
definitely. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yes.
So that's a little bit about me. So.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, just for any young person out there, you know, whether you're part of a marginalized population or not,
mm-hmm.
believe in yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
Just, it's a hard journey.
It is.
Regardless of the background that you come from, some people have more support than others, and I think mm-hmm. we need to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's difficult
mm-hmm.
because you don't get your hand held like an undergrad.
Right.
And this is like a make or break. There's a lot of people that started this program with us and I haven't seen them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to very safely assume that they just aren't going to finish.
Yeah.
And it's hard and you need to find your people.
Mm-hmm.
Like some, if you get into a master's or a doctoral program, people will tell you that and you're like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And then it clicks one day and you're
it
like...
It takes a little bit of time.
It does.
It does. It's like right off the bat, you find your little batch of people that, you know, I think I only did find 2 years in.
Yeah.
I feel like I now really have one.
I feel like my second year was definitely... I almost withdrew. Like, this is a secret to you, but...
Yeah.
And a secret to a lot of other people. I haven't really talked about this, but, like, I almost withdrew from my program because I was like, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
especially my last semester, I almost deferred because I was like, I can't defend.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
Yeah, I'm not ready to defend. Like, I'm going through so much right now. And you know what? I did it. I got my master's. And I can say I have a master's. I have, like, three fancy little letters behind my name. And I'm like, hey, look at that. Little comma with these little letters. So y'all can do it. Anybody can do it with the right mentality, the support, mm-hmm. and the resources.
Agreed.
And again, if anybody needs help, let me know.
Let me know. Let us know.
Yes,
we are here for you.
Everybody's
and we will
here
get through this together.
And don't believe when people tell you that people aren't here to support you, because they really are. And I'm grateful for being at this institution in particular, because it's not a competition.
Agreed.
And I feel like at a lot of other institutions, mm-hmm. you walk in there and the professor will say, like, mm-hmm. this is your competition.
Like
figure
Hunger
it out.
Games.
Yeah.
Throw
and
us
I'm
like three weapons and we all fight it out.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I want to like co-author stuff with a bunch of different people. And so I'm very grateful for being in this program, particularly here, because I don't feel like I'm competing with you. And I feel like at another program, it could easily be like, oh, y'all are the two people of color. Like,
and true. I could like, definitely see that.
Oh, yeah. Because it does happen.
Easily,
I have friends. I have friends that their program is like that.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's what I always think about, because you and I are always together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we probably wouldn't be friends in another program.
In another program. It's so true. They would have, but it's us against the problem, baby. Always us against the problem.
It is.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Vee, for being in the studio with me today.
You're welcome. Thanks again.
Of course. And very excited to have you back on in the future.
Thanks.
ASISU Speaks with Christophe Kassoun, airing every Tuesday at 7 p.m. through the academic school year here on KISU. Find an audio archive of all past episodes at kisu.org. Click on Programs and ASISU Speaks. Coming up next, it's All Songs Considered from National Public Radio.